medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the manager of business applications at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Hello, Chandra. You doing okay?
Hanging in there.
Yeah, looks like we have quite the crowd with us today.
We do. We today are going to talk to a couple guests about the Quest Emerging Leaders Program. So that's our topic for today.
Very cool. Well, there are some unfamiliar faces, so we'll have to go through introductions, I suppose.
We will, absolutely. But first, before we do that, I want to give a little highlight about what the Quest Emerging Leaders Program is. So the Quest Emerging Leaders Program, or ELP for short, is a 9-month learning journey for roughly 15 to 20 people in a class. They say they're looking for people kind of that are in that mid-career level, that are, you know, leaders that are looking to kind of continue to enhance their leadership capabilities. And the program, as I said, is 9 months. It's a combination of in-person learning events, virtual workshops, networking. So they offer, as part of the networking, we had industry connections where you meet with people that are in either your business industry or the particular Oracle software industry that you might be using. So whether that's PeopleSoft or JD Edwards or Oracle Cloud. And then you also have one-on-one mentoring. So you meet with a mentor on a regular basis and work on some of the leadership skills that maybe you're looking to enhance. In addition, at the very beginning, at the end, there's a skills assessment that you complete and your manager completes. So you each complete a skills assessment to kind of see where you're at. And then you'll, you know, as you're learning over the course of these 9 months, you'll start implementing little bits and pieces of what you learn in your day job. And you'll show up differently at the end. And hopefully that comes out in those skills assessments as well. And to top it all off, there's a capstone project. So that's a really good cue in for who we have as guests today. I invited my capstone project team. Our team name is actually Quest for the Best, which ties into our project as well, because we are actually doing a project that is actually trying to help Quest with an AI initiative that they have. So we're specific in that area. So we came up with the team name Quest for the Best. Other teams have their own names. And so I invited them to come on and talk to us about the ELP program, a little bit about what they've learned, a little bit about maybe what their favorite part of the program was, what their experience has been like, et cetera. So
awesome. So Quest for the Best, now I have context because I saw in our invite as you did reach out to your team. I did see that, and I believe Eric's response, and I didn't. I was like, where did that come from? Because that was totally out of context. I didn't know. So thank you for, now it all makes sense.
We're putting all the pieces of the puzzle together for you today.
Yep.
All right. So with that, why don't we start off with some introductions today? And Carla, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. Hello. Hello. Thank you for inviting me today. I'm very excited to be here. So my name is Carla Pappas. I've been working with JD Edwards HR payroll since 2010, primarily in engineering and construction industry. Much of that time I was spent doing consulting work, but now I am currently working as a business analyst for MasTech. And outside of work, I would say I'm a nature enthusiast and a self-declared hobby hopper. So ask me next month and I'll be into something different. But my latest adventure is cake decorating.
Ooh. So does that mean we'll see you on the Great British Bake Off?
Possibly so. I will say my first cake, I shared it with my book club last night. They were all fans. So I think I have a lot of potential. I think you could see me there maybe next year.
So most importantly, will you bring us a cake to celebrate at our little celebration in Vegas?
I had the thought. I truly did have the thought last night. And I thought, I mean, if I can get it all on a carry-on and just bring my little cake carrier, I think we could have something. So
love it. That's awesome. Cool. All right. Let's roll over to Eric.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me today. My name is Eric Maxson. I've been working for Carolina Biological Supply Company since 2017, primarily working as a database analyst for the first 5 years. In the last 2+ years, I've been working more on the development side of things. So really haven't been too involved in the JDE community until the last 2 years or so, and I've really enjoyed my experiences so far. A little bit about me personally, just became a new father during this ELP program. So the team was gracious in helping me welcome my little baby boy into the world. And so I appreciate that. Don't ask me what day of the week it is because I don't know, but it's been a great experience so far.
Sleep deprivation is real.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, Carolina Biological, they supply like all the high schools throughout the nation with all, like if you've ever done a lab basically in your high school science project, it came from Carolina Biological, is that right?
Yeah, so we're the number one manufacturer of all science supplies in basically any institution from kindergarten, which obviously doesn't have too much in as much as science goes, all the way through, you know, graduate school, vet school, stuff like that, and some medical institutions as well.
Very cool. Well, welcome, Eric. Good to meet you. So, Arul.
Hello. My name is Arul, and I'm a non-JDE person here. So, thank you for having me. I work for PeopleSoft, and I work in the North Dakota University system as a PeopleSoft HCM lead programmer, supporting 11 campuses all over the state of North Dakota. When I have some free time, I like to take lazy naps. I'm not a hobby person like Carla. I don't have any problems with kids now, you know, have enough time to sleep. So I like
I fully support that hobby, Arul, fully support it.
Says the sleep deprived dad.
Yes. We got a pretty balanced panel. I mean, you know, we've got the parents, we've got the hobbyist, and we've got the, well, I don't know what you would call it.
Hobby stopper.
Yeah, the hobby stopper, or you can shut it down and take a rest with the best of us versus everybody else that has to be going every minute of every day. So
Carla and I, we're going. We're the hobbyists.
Oh yeah.
Yes. The nonstop. Well, I think we should probably start off with our first question. I mean, you described the program, Chandra. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and we helped kick this off. I mean, we had Ken Pennington on who helped come up with the program and kick it off. And we were really excited about that. And now, you know, roughly has it been a year, I suppose, just over a year later, I suppose, you know, from about that kickoff, you know, now we have folks such as yourself that have actually gone through the program. So what has the experience been like? Who wants to start with that?
I can go if you like.
Sure.
So it's very positive. So after 14 years of consulting experience, you know, I started a full-time job, you know, with that, I try to stick with the day-to-day things here at my job. But, you know, this is a good opportunity for me to network with other people. Especially, I was interacting only with PeopleSoft people. Now I know JD Edwards, Oracle guys, you know. It gave me a very good opportunity to spread out and create a good network. And also to strengthen my leadership skills. You know, when you are a technical person, you like to stay with your program. Don't look into anything, you know. Of course, your managers to try to enforce processes. But this gave me a good opportunity to look into what that leadership blend can bring into a technical world. And my team is enjoying that. My team members are really seeing the benefits on learning these leadership competencies. So it is very positive.
Yeah, and I would add to that, Arul. So along with my hobbies, you know, I have this naturally curious mindset. So when I first started learning about the program, I thought I definitely want to jump full in into this, see what I can learn about myself. And I would say that one of the key items I hoped to get out of this was being able to connect with inspiring individuals and embark on a journey of self-discovery. like you said, Arul, many times you're spent caught up in the rat race of your day-to-day operations, checking off lists, all these things that I need to get to. So I thought this would be a really great opportunity to have that time to focus on yourself, your own journey, your own goals. And then I would say the whole program has exceeded all of those expectations, right? Because, you know, you, like you mentioned, we have industry connections, mentors, and all of our different sessions. So it's really brought a unique opportunity to expand your network, really be energized by this group of individuals that are so smart and so talented and learn from each other. So it's truly been an amazing experience so far.
Yeah, and I'm just going to second everything Arul and Carla just said. It's been really, really helpful, not only as someone who's a little bit newer to the JDE community to build up some of my connections and relationships with individuals in that community, but also to really focus and hone in on some leadership skills that I knew I was lacking. And so my mentor-mentee relationship has been fantastic. We've really honed in on some of those weaknesses and fought back some of those fears that I've had. And it's also been great to work with, definitely selfishly saying, the best team for the Capstone project. These guys here have been very helpful in just analyzing the work that we were doing, splitting up tasks, doing a project that I didn't know where it was going to go when we first started. But we certainly have sort of come all the way back around to a fun presentation that we're going to give at Blueprint.
All right. Now, you three all thought you were the only ones that could answer, but Chandra, you're part of this team, so you have to answer as well.
Don't. I am going to echo everything that was just said. For me, you know, I feel like Carla said, we really get caught up in that rat race of, you know, just getting our tasks done and not carving out time for ourselves to develop. And for me, this has been some of that time that has been forced. Like, oh, I have homework to do. I need to read this book. You know, well, it's so easy to be like, if I don't have a due date for it, it just is easier to put it aside. And I find that when you have a structured program, whether that's a formal master's education or a certificate program or a leadership program like this, you're committed. You know, if you're going to invest in it, you want to do it. You want to grow. You want to learn. I, too, like Carla, have a very curious mind. I'm always asking questions and I'm always looking for ways to improve myself, whether that's personally or professionally. I read a lot of self-help books / listen, because I do a lot of my listening on runs, or when I'm driving across the country, because I tend to do that frequently too, or podcasts. But this time, there were certain books that I actually had to sit down with a paper book and read, which was like, in a way, refreshing to me, because I haven't done it in so long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've actually read a handheld book. I've just been listening to more material recently. So
a lot of audiobooks, a lot of podcasts, that mm-hmm. sort of thing, versus actually sitting down and mm-hmm. flipping through the actual pages.
But the important thing, too, has been having a space to have discussions about those things with, about those topics, about those books, about whatever competency we might be learning about. We have a dedicated place through the Quest site where we all log in. And we, a portal, I don't know, whatever you want to call that. Sure. And our group, our entire class has assignments every couple of weeks where we actually have to comment on the material that we were assigned to read and watch, because there is some video that content that you watch as well. But then we also have to interact with other people. So you're not only thinking about yourself, but you're reading through what others have said, and you're learning from that too. You learn different perspectives, different ways of looking at things from that.
I mean, one of the things I think we were striving even with the podcast was this learn through shared experience, and you three, four, all bring different experience. I mean, just based on your descriptions of your background and what you've done, and you want to learn these leadership skills, but you bring such diverse backgrounds, if you will. And it's encouraging. I mean, it's fun to hear that there's a platform, and this ELP program seems to have served up a very good platform where you can actually share with one another your perspectives and collectively grow together, which is awesome.
To add to that, I think that was one of the items that we touched on, especially for our capstone project. You know, there were moments that maybe Chandra and I didn't feel as confident in some areas, and we really learned that it's important to surround yourself with that diversity, with people that have various skills, because as you continue to grow and progress, you're not going to know everything, right? So you're going to need to be able to rely on others. And I think this experience and all of the friendships that we have made will keep that accountability and that access to all of these different skill sets. And again, we've learned a really good lesson that you need to surround yourself with people that have that knowledge. You're not going to know everything. Lean into others, ask others for help. And most of the time, and as we're finding with this group, everyone shows up for you, you know, and we show up for each other. So it's been really special to be able to not know it all and put my faith in others and have them show up and support you in more ways than I could have imagined. So
would you all say, I mean, one of the things I key in there is we kind of come up, maybe we grow up this way, I don't know. You get this preconceived notion that you need to know it all. If you don't have the answer, you suddenly start feeling very self-conscious and you're like, oh my gosh, maybe I need to know this. Maybe I don't need to know this. But you're learning through the process that actually I don't. I can rely on other people. And yes, there are certain things, of course, I need to know, but I'm allowed to learn. I'm allowed to, you know, rely on other people. I can depend on other people. I can ask more questions than, and not necessarily be judged at the same time, that it's okay that you don't need to know everything. Would you guys collectively agree on that?
Yes, emphatically agree, actually, because I feel like I know I have felt that pressure on myself where I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know that I should be in this position because I don't know everything about J.D. Edwards. Oh boy, you know, what if somebody asks me something and I can't answer it? Well, what has become apparent is I may not have that answer, but I can go find it. I know how to go find it. I can say, I don't know, but I will get back to you. And I can say it confidently. Like, I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
And I think to add to that, it's putting yourself, especially in this Emerging Leaders program, putting yourself into uncomfortable positions that allow that growth opportunity. So that's what I was touching on. I mean, when we had first pick of our capstone project and we had to rank them, which one we wanted as a group. And Chandra and I, like the project that we ended with, that was my lowest ranking. I wanted nothing to do with it. It was totally out of my comfort zone. I knew nothing about AI. That was not my strength. So I ranked that the lowest. And Eric and Arul kind of talked us into it and we got on board and we did this project. And that honestly has been one of my biggest takeaways of being comfortable with being uncomfortable, putting yourself into those positions where you can learn and rely on others. And you just realize how much more beneficial these experiences are when you step out of your comfort zone.
And it's a very big surprise when you guys accepted to that, you know, the fact you can, you know, join with us to do a technical project. You know, personally, I would have not done that, you know, and this is a valuable lesson for me that, okay, I can jump into something which I am not much comfortable with so that, you know, you can be with your team to achieve your common goals. So that was fascinating for me. So yeah, it's a great lesson. It was so encouraging for me too.
Yeah. And Carla, while you didn't feel as comfortable technically with this project, without you, our thoughts would have been all over the place because you were a great organizer of our meetings, our notes, our structure to those meetings. So you provided a lot of value there for us.
I really appreciate you saying that because, again, you go into these situations feeling like, what am I going to have to offer? And then it's just so apparent that everyone has a special place and a moment where they can shine. Even if you don't feel like you're bringing something to the table, those around you are going to see your true strengths and your, you know, your inner abilities. They're going to shine through no matter what you're doing, even if you're thrown into something that, you know, you're completely lost at first. So I appreciate those words, Eric. Thank you.
And the fact that I feel like, despite it not being our strength to be this more of a technical project, Carla, what Arul and Eric were able to do to get us up to speed, to educate us, was amazing. Their ability to take something that was very technical and explain it in a way that made sense and got me excited about it, got me excited to learn more. Like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. You know, I can't remember the number of times I said that, like, that's so cool, as we went through things and as we learned.
And that's why I think this entire Emerging Leaders program is just so special, because where would we have had this type of opportunity, again, to put ourselves in these challenging situations, learn from others, and have this experience? So
no, it's very telling, being able to work outside your comfort zone. I mean, so many of us, I think, when we learn that, going with a story real quick, somebody that worked for me as a manager, and the first time that he actually learned to take on something, I mean, he was really resistant to the change that I was proposing. And he had no idea about the subject matter. He had no idea about the area. But through the process, he proved to himself that he could learn something new and be successful with it. And he proved to himself that he can work outside his comfort zone. And I think a key that you all mentioned as well is, well, I may not know, but I'll figure it out. And once you have that, once you have that confidence that in your back of your mind, it's like, yeah, I don't know right now. You know, I don't know how I'm going to add value. I don't know how I'm going to be successful in this moment, but I do have confidence that I will figure it out. And with the help of others and the folks that I'm going to collaborate with, I'm confident that I'll get through it. I just don't know how yet. And it's okay. It'll work its way out. And at the end, we'll all be better for it, and I'll be rewarded in that sense. And that's awesome. That's a great lesson.
Hey, JDE Connection listeners. Join JD Edwards users, industry experts, and Oracle for the JD Edwards Forum at Blueprint 4D in Las Vegas, June 9th through the 13th. To get the latest updates on JD Edwards features and discuss critical hot topics and build connections to help prepare your organization, tools, and strategies for the future. There's still time to save. Advanced registration ends May 11th. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/blueprint4D to register.
All right, so let's see here. There's a lot of different questions I could ask here, but what was maybe your favorite part of the program so far? What was your favorite component of the program? I'll put this to Eric first.
Oh, geez, the favorite part is tough for me because I really did enjoy a lot of the aspects of the program. One of the favorite things for the program for me was essentially the different ways you could learn the material. Every single subject area that we focused on would have a PDF file of like 10 to 15 pages on that specific topic. It would have two videos, one only a few minutes long, but one that was 30 or 40 minutes long. We would then also have a session together as a group where we get on a Teams meeting and we would discuss that topic with an industry expert. And we'd also could discuss these different topics with our mentors and our industry connection calls and online on the Quest community. So having all of those different types of resources, while looking back at it, it seems kind of wild that there was that many different ways to learn, provided a lot of ways for every individual to understand the material in their own way. And I think that ultimately is probably the biggest takeaway I got from this program was it's really meant for anybody, and you can learn the material the way that you prefer in the various ways that they are given to you.
Before you all jump in, sorry, I would commend Quest for putting it together in a way. What you were describing to me was everybody learns in a different way. It's audio or it's visual, kinesthetic. I think there's three or four different ways in which everybody likes to learn. And it sounds like that was completely covered, you know, in the way the program was structured, which, I mean, that's awesome because it allows anybody to learn in the way that they prefer. That's great. How about you, Carla?
I would say our in-person kickoff sessions where we did our little retreat. We all went to Kentucky and we were there for a few days, got to spend that dedicated time all in the same room together, learning those first key items from materials. We even spent an afternoon at the racetrack. Also, of course, not forgetting that we tied it into leadership. There was some leadership elements that we learned from there. So I think just spending that quality time together, especially in the initial phase of this process, was so energizing, so exciting. I mean, you had to give up your weekend to go. So at first I thought, oh, who wants to go on the weekend? And then by the time I got through it. I'm like, can we stay even longer? I'd give up another weekend just to see everyone again, just to experience that. I just left that session feeling so energized, so excited, ready to tackle the world. Leadership, here I come, you know, doors wide open. I just thought it was just so special to be able to spend that time with everyone. And so I would say that has definitely been my key moment.
Awesome. I mean, at the end of the day, you know how to bet horses at the very least. So for anybody else looking to get into the program, they should probably do that research ahead of time.
Farinha, they pick all the correct horses. Just bring her and you'll win.
I should essential oils, my abundance essential oils. I was fanning it all over us and I said, bring us abundance, and abundance came. And that's why we got to pick our Capstone project first.
That's awesome. All the gray horses won, I hear.
That's my picks. Yes. No, unfortunately, it was not the gray horses that did it. It was Carla.
All right. Well, Chandra, what was your favorite part?
I agree. That is a really tough question. I think for me, quite frankly, it's been the Capstone project. Having a project where you're pulling together various aspects of what you've learned is fun. Okay, yeah, we have this project, but how can we incorporate what we might have learned in this competency or in this competency so that we see that we really are pulling together the pieces? That's been the fun part. But me, I work remotely from Southwest Florida, and I'm by myself quite a bit. So for me, that in-person kickoff was amazing and very much like filled my cup. From getting to know different people that I might not have connected with before. I mean, obviously, those that were in the J.D. Edwards space, you have that common element to connect on, right? So it's really easy to like just draw towards those people. But you've got to open your mind up to learning about PeopleSoft, learning about some cloud, right? So it's been very nice to have an option where you're connecting with people that aren't necessarily in the same space you're in.
Sure. Yeah. It's sometimes easier, I suppose, for all of us to connect with people where we have a common connection. Sorry, we keep on using that word. But in this particular case, you've got some level of disparity. Now, you know, before we get to your rule, real quick, on this level of connection, and we get together in Kentucky and horse racing, and, you know, it's in person, a lot of folks in this industry happen to be introverts. Would any of you count yourself as it? Because I know Chandra is not, you know, so she, I can see why the social also is very, very rewarding. But I don't know, Carla, Eric, or Arul, would you can put yourself in the introverted category where going to Kentucky and being with everybody kind of puts you outside that comfort zone? Or was, you know, or is this something that you just absolutely let's go meet everybody? I mean, just curious.
You know, I think I kind of alternate between the two. I think I'm normally an introvert if I'm in a situation where I'm not as comfortable. Okay. And then as soon as I become comfortable, I start to become a little more extroverted. And I think I saw that really during that first weekend that we were all together. You know, when we all first showed up, I was just trying to be, you know, Eric and sit down and listen and watch and learn. But by the end of the weekend, I thought, you know, I really got to know a lot of people and understood the positions they were in. It was very similar to the positions I was in. And so I was able to open up and share my thoughts and experiences with them. And they were able to share a lot of their experience with me as well.
Nice. So as soon as you had something to relate and you could relate, then makes it much easier. Carla and Arul, because we haven't gotten to your favorite part yet, so I'll ask you that and what your favorite part was. But Carla, introvert, extrovert?
I just want to touch on Eric. I will say, for those that are going to come to Blueprint, you need to ask us as a sidebar about the Halloween party that we crashed that weekend. Eric can come out of his shell. So seen it. I witnessed it firsthand. So like Eric, I would say the same thing, especially if I'm going into a group of unknowns or a crowd full of people, larger groups. I tend to be more reserved, more introverted. I'm not the one that's going to be the first to, oh, hi, hello, everyone. So I definitely lean more introverted. But then depending on the group size and as you become more comfortable And I adapt to the room, right? If I have a lot of extroverts in the room, I'll probably take a sideline. I don't have to compete to be that big energy person in the room. So I sway. I think they call it an omnivert. You know, there's now a spectrum of intro and extrovertedness. So yep. I would call myself that. But initially, I would lean introvert for sure.
Okay.
Chandra, I don't mean to assume your personality type. So I'll give you a chance.
Surprisingly, I am probably a bit actually like Eric and Carla. When I am in a new environment, especially if it's a lot of people, I almost feel overwhelmed until I can build like one or two connections, and then I'm all in. You know, obviously, I know a lot of people in the community well because I have been coming to JD Edwards conferences for a number of years. So for me, showing up at one of those, what people see is, wow, that's a lot of energy, and that's a lot of, you know.
I mean, that's why I say what I said. I mean, that was my impression, and, you know, I apologize. I mean, it's...
No,
it's after many years of being in that environment, yeah, you are, mm-hmm. you know, you...
I'm comfortable. You, yeah, but if, you're comfortable. Like, you were to send me to an SAP conference, I would be mm-hmm. out of my element and uncomfortable until I was able to build some sort of connection with somebody or a couple people, and then it would probably flow easier for me.
All right, Arul, where are you at on the spectrum, I guess? I mean, introvert to extrovert to omnivert.
I hadn't heard omnivert. That's my new term of the day. I'm super excited. I learned something new.
That's going on the bingo board. All right.
Yeah, here we go. Omnivert.
Yeah, but it's the same way. You know, if you don't know the people around you, for me, it'll take some time to get in connection with them. But with this group, you know, Quest did a very good job of, you know, getting us together in a Zoom call even before we get into Lexington. So we then now, you know, knew the faces there. And when we get there, you know, we were, you know, waiting in the hotel lobby, and everybody started to speak to one another like they knew them for a long time. And the connections we made, and after the in-person session, when I came back, as Carla said, we were so energized. And we thought, okay, we made a good choice on picking up this program. So it was very good. Very cool. Very good experience. Yeah.
And I'm curious, do we think that John was intentional about how he picked the groups? Because, you know, he got to know us a little bit before we were put into our capstone project. So I think that he is very perceptive of all of us and very intentionally selected us for this group. And we, I feel like, meshed so well. So I thought that was really special that John took the time to get to know each of us and all of our mentors and paired us up accordingly. So just another call out of what I think was very unique with this program. You know, you weren't just thrown into a room and tried to figure it out. Like, he was very intentional with who he selected to lead each of the sessions. And it wasn't just him, right? It was the whole Quest, like, it was a whole team behind it. But I know that they put a lot of thought and intention behind the groups, who they brought in, and just all the industry connections and mentors.
I think that's very, very important to share with everybody that this isn't, we're just not trying to cycle through people through this program. There is a lot of thought and intent and genuine desire to help everybody put themselves in a place that they can succeed and they can grow and they can walk away feeling like this was absolutely worth it, and they achieved their goals, the outcomes that they desired through this program, and became the next generation of leadership. It's very important to share, Carla. Thank you.
Yeah, I think John Vaughn said I was going to be a tough challenge for him, actually, because of when you look at the industry connections, I'm pretty well connected in the JD Edwards space. Mm-hmm. So that was a challenge for him. He's got to find other people for me to connect with that offer the same things that I was really interested in honing some leadership skills in different areas. So for him, it was a little bit of a challenge, which I appreciated. I was like, wow, for him to say that, he really cares. He really wants you to come away from this program feeling that it met your needs and that you felt it was a success.
Yeah. And to that point, there have been many points throughout the process that he has welcomed feedback. He is actively wanting to get feedback from each of us to understand, you know, are your needs being met? Is there anything we can do differently? How, again, to your point, how can we help you be more successful? So if it's not meeting your needs, there's plenty of opportunity to express those feelings and really course correct to, like you said, get exactly what you want out of the program.
That's nice. I mean, it's while there's structure, it's still fluid. There's a willingness to flex and pivot as needed to, again, make it work for everyone involved. That's difficult to do. I mean, you have to be very, very committed and paying attention and intentional with everything that you do. So you're outside your comfort zone, getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. Love that. I don't know, but I'll figure it out. Love that. The various types of resources kind of appeal to the different learning types. You've got quality time, getting together, you know, breaking down the social barriers as well, all of that. Now, the question is, did it meet your goals? Did it meet your expectations? I mean, did you learn what you wanted to learn out of this? Are you getting out of this what you expected? Now, of course, if you say no, then we have to kill the entire episode. So, I mean,
nope.
But that's totally, totally loaded question. But, you know, I'm pretty confident given the enthusiasm that you shared so far, the answer is going to be yes. So then it would be, in what way? I mean, what was your goal or what was your expectation and how did it meet or exceed that?
I think I can start with that. You know, coming into the program, I wasn't quite sure what my goal of the program was, right? It's a leadership program. It's going to improve my leadership skills, you know, like the general takeaways that you would think about there. So I came into it just with an open mind, trying to learn as much as I could. And one of the things that it really did that I've really appreciated is it's changed my mindset on leadership. You know, not everybody leads the same way. Not everybody takes, you know, the lessons learned the same way. A lot of us are in the tech industry because we're really good problem solvers, right? We like to take a problem that's difficult to think about and come up with solutions that are optimized and efficient. And we think about that probably only in like a software space or a coding language or something like that. But why not use some of those problem solving skills, some of those critical thinking skills for project development and for understanding teams and understanding people, understanding how to manage. That's really what this program has given me, is thinking about using my skills and my mindset just in a different way. So it's really opened up my mind to possibilities when it comes to leadership. And I think that's been one of the most critical aspects of this program that I've learned.
Well, that's going to be a tough one to follow up on here. I'm just going to say, but I personally really appreciate that people come in with different perspectives on what leadership means. And sure, you're a problem solver. You got into this industry to build solutions, right? To understand business problems and figure out solutions and whatnot. And you don't necessarily, I don't think it's intuitive that you could just apply that to leadership. And that's an interesting gap to bridge to be able to make that transition. That's awesome. All right. Arul, Carla, Chandra.
When you're in a managerial position, right, you know, you would do, you know, some of these things, the leadership things, but you won't put a name on it, you know. And I was in a managerial position for the last 5 years. I was doing some of these things, but I don't know what I'm doing. So now I know what leadership style I'm exhibiting. You know, now I know what is team leadership. So I was able to understand things better and do things better and in a right way. I didn't know there are frameworks to do this. Now I know there are different frameworks to do it right, to measure. And now I'm asking continuous feedbacks from my team members saying that, hey, how is it going? So it definitely changed the way I manage team. And I looked into leadership competencies. You know, as a technical person, it is very easy to overthrow, say, oh, no, I don't want this process in my work. You know, I just need to code it, get it run and go. But it really changed my way of thinking, like Eric said. So it's very positive for me.
Would you also say that going through this process changed the way you look at leadership? Like you have a different appreciation, a different level of respect. And in this case, you recognize frameworks where you didn't see frameworks. You see things that you just didn't see before. Would you also know?
Definitely. That was, I mean, I had various goals, but one of them specifically for me was trying to become more strategic rather than caught in the details. You know, so much of my entire career, it's been focused on every single detail, especially in payroll and HR, making sure everything is absolutely perfect. And that was one of my goals, is as I progress throughout my career, I want to become more strategic. So I would say it definitely reshaped really the way I look at everything within a day to day, you know, whether it's taking the time to go out to your website and make sure you know your company's mission and goals and values. You know, those were things I wasn't thinking of before this program. You know, half of us in the room said we have no idea what our company's goals, mission, and values are. We couldn't rattle them off. So just reshaping the fact that there are a lot more things, that giving exposure to all the things that you really should be considering, whether it's, you know, a task that you're approaching, does it connect back to those core goals? What is the overall mission of your company? Is what you're doing, whether you're at the lowest level in the company or the highest level company, is what you're doing fulfilling the needs of that company? So, I mean, it's definitely shaped that, again, no matter what position you're in, you're going to bring some type of leadership. You know, you don't have to have a title to be considered a leader. You're going to bring that to whatever position you're in if you start to think more strategically and have a different viewpoint for how you're approaching your day-to-day operations.
Wow. Yeah, I really appreciate that and respect that. I mean, it's, you know, everybody wants to know how their contribution leads to the end game, right? But that recognition that regardless of your title, regardless of your role or responsibility, you can still play a leadership role and you can still make that contribution. I mean, that's huge. Chandra, how about you?
For me, it was really learning a lot about the various leadership styles and that it's not just one. There's a time and a place for each kind of leadership style, and knowing when to apply that has been really kind of amazing, you know, to think about. Like, there's a time and a place for a commanding leadership style. There's a time and a place for a coaching leadership style. There's a time and a place to be more democratic or more pace setting. And learning about that and what the pros and the cons are for them, and when you might want to use that, was really kind of, I don't know, eye-opening. Because I think I always thought like leadership was one thing, and it's really not. It's really one style, like more one-dimensional. And it's not. It's floating through various styles. I mean, you end up with your own style probably. You know, you might be more of a coaching or a democratic type of leader, but you still may have moments where you're going to be maybe commanding. You know, it's a crisis. I need to be commanding in this particular moment.
So does that, sorry, I'm loving this. Does that give you an overall respect though for what you see? Like on a daily basis now, when you interact with your leaders and other people within your organization, do you start to recognize these things and you get a different respect now for, geez, I don't like the commanding style, but at the end of the day, if I'm in that crisis, that's exactly what I want, versus no, over in this situation, I can see where this person that has a very strong, you know, coaching, mentoring type democratic style, I would prefer that, or I would employ that better. But, you know, different personalities, different leadership types have their different places. And now you can recognize those and you have a different respect for those. Is that fair?
Yes, that is fair. It's absolutely recognizing what some other leadership in the organization, how they lead, and where they're at in a given moment. You can always kind of tell, I feel at least maybe through this, I've learned where I can kind of see and look across the board at, let's say, your C-suite level and look at those leaders, those different leaders, and figure out kind of what their primary leadership style is based upon interactions I've had and what I like and what I don't like and what resonates with me and where I really will gravitate to know, like, okay. And I would say from a future standpoint, if I'm ever out looking for a job, those are things I'm really going to look at differently through a different lens when I'm interviewing. There's going to be some very specific questions that I might ask regarding leadership that before I may not have thought to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize how important it is now and how much I kind of want it to somewhat align with my style, but yet not, because I feel like, again, having something that's a little bit different allows you to grow and learn.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Not that you're interviewing. I'm just kidding. You did throw that in there, but
I had the same thought. I thought, oh.
Right. It's just, I mean, it's not that I am, but if I were to, or if I were to talk to somebody that is interviewing, let's say I've got friends that are looking for jobs, I might be like, hey, here's some things that I learned in my leadership program that maybe you want to think about when you're interviewing.
I would say it's not as much maybe the idea of interviewing for another job as much as if you just got reassigned, if you just got moved and you have a new boss, those first one-on-ones, those first conversations, that's an interview. At the end of the day, you're trying to feel one another out, try to understand who they are. Now you've been given this exposure and this understanding of the various leadership styles, and you're going to want to find out, well, what is their style going to be? So I wouldn't, just because you said interviewing doesn't mean you're external or anything. The reality is anybody you're collaborating with, look, you get a new CIO, a new CTO, whoever it is within the organization, and you have to have a few conversations so that they understand who's in the org and what you bring. You need to try to understand what their leadership style is going to be so you understand where they're going to lean and what situations are really going to align with that. And also, out of your personal preference, you know, what's likely to rub you the wrong way or obviously align with you. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to key in too much on the interview thing. But
No. Well, I mean, it could also be interview. Like, let's say you wanted to join the Quest Board of Directors. There's an interview process for it. You know, how do you find out how you align with the other board directors?
Mm-hmm. And not to give too many secrets away, but the hunching tool was one of the items that I think resonated with a lot of us because, like we're saying, I mean, it was an opportunity to, you know, answer a few questions after you've maybe interacted with someone, whether it's for a long period of time or even initially, get a hunch as to what their style is, what type of personality they are, and what strengths that person has and how to approach conversations with that type of person, right? They might not be the style that resonates with you, but this program allowed you to understand those differences and then gave you tools and techniques that if you're going to approach XYZ type, then you need to come at them with a list, or maybe you need to start off with a personal anecdote because that's going to resonate with them if they're more that style that isn't always building relationships. So you learn about the different styles, but not only that, how do you approach them so you can really relate and resonate and get what you need from all different types of people?
Yeah, you want to maximize each one of your engagements. And, you know, it's interesting because you guys are applying it to leadership, but the reality is if you take, you know, like even just leading virtual teams and understanding different cultures and the way in which socially people like to interact, different approaches, really understanding that and taking the right approach can really maximize the results that you're going to get via that exchange. So that's awesome. Very, very cool. All right. Well, we've been at it for almost 45. So I'm going to ask probably the last question and the most important question maybe, which is, would you actually recommend this program to anyone? I mean, after 45 minutes of obviously great energy and you guys feel very passionate about this, we know what the answer is, but Chandra, would you recommend this, I mean, to anybody, and who would you recommend it to? I mean,
oh, absolutely. I would recommend this program and have actually at least one person on my team that I would like to get enrolled in the next cohort for this. I think those people that have a couple years of experience under their belt that are maybe looking to make that leap into a leadership role, whether it's classified as manager or not, doesn't really matter. But I think those individuals that are really looking to hone in some of the skill sets related to leading people, again, doesn't mean necessarily that they're managing them, is who I would recommend this program for.
Arul, how about you?
You know, I would recommend it to any technical person who is in that middle level management position,
okay,
who's struggling to balance between technical and this leadership thing. And this would give them a crash course on what they need to learn to get their leadership to the next level. And also, another unique thing about this group is, you know, you can't collaborate with other Oracle customers. So let's say if you are planning to move to a cloud, you know, if you are on-premise on moving to cloud or to another solution, this would be a perfect opportunity to network among and gain a lot of good perspectives. And the connections you establish, it would definitely help. And my mentor, she moved from PeopleSoft to Oracle HCM, and it was a great, you know, wealth of experience for me when I talked to her. So I really recommend this to any technical person who is struggling to battle with the leadership thing.
All right, Eric?
Yeah, I would certainly recommend this to any technical individual who is looking to challenge their perspective on leadership, right? Anybody who might be a little shy to the idea of leadership, I think this program would be perfect for you. Similar to where I was in this journey at the start, and you know, since this has gone on, I've really gained a lot of confidence in myself and my abilities. And so this program does a great job of giving you the business acumen that is important to understanding a business or understanding an organization, all the way through understanding how to lead change in an organization. There's a lot of things in this program that I very much enjoyed, and I'll be sad to see it go, for sure.
Well, hopefully, I mean, you guys will continue to interact and stay together, and it's not the end of the relationship you guys have all started, but I can appreciate the fact that it's been such a rewarding program to see it actually come to an end. There's a little, you know, it's bittersweet, if you will. So, Carla, how about you?
Yeah, and before, I wanted, Eric, you helped sort of hit the ground running on this alumni program, so don't discount that, right? There is this group that we're really trying to, and Eric, I think you should take this one, but sort of give us maybe a little bit rundown about the alumni, because it doesn't end here, right? That was part of your brainchild.
Yeah, so the alumni program, which John and I are going to head up along with some individuals here, potentially on this call, but also within the Emerge Leaders Program cohort that's going to be finishing up. We really wanted to extend the learning period for any individual that was interested in it. As I've sort of described here on this call, I've really enjoyed the program. And while I know that I'm not going to get, you know, an immediate promotion right after this program, that's not quite how things work. I need to continue to build those skills and continue to develop that part of my mindset. And so the alumni program is going to be set up for after this cohort is completed, and should hopefully help us continue to communicate and build relationships in the community while also continuing to learn.
Very cool.
So for me to wrap up, everyone kind of said who should be doing it. So my big takeaway is, if you're considering the program at all, it's simple. Don't hesitate. Just do it. You're going to be so surprised at how energizing this is going to be, the camaraderie that you're going to build. And this is an opportunity to invest in yourself. And if you take on this journey, make sure you pour yourself into it. Like anything, what you put into it is what you get out of it. So make sure that you are fully taking every opportunity, pour yourself into it, learn, grow, and push yourself outside of your comfort zone. Just go above and beyond, be open to new perspectives, and you will be greatly rewarded if you take this time to invest in yourself through this program.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I mean, I really appreciate everybody's candid feedback today, and you know, the enthusiasm you have for the program obviously exudes through. I mean, now I want to be part of the program. So many good lessons learned, so many great memories and experiences, such great advice you guys gave today. And hopefully, you know, we see the next cohort come through, and the alumni program, I wasn't aware. So thank you for bringing that up. That's a great idea. Because learning never stops. And now you have an opportunity to not only keep learning and whatnot, but can share your experience and pass it on. And that is fantastic. Chandra, you know, it's probably time for us to wrap up. We can't really end an episode, though, without a Midwesternism. Do we have a Midwesternism for the day?
Of course we do, Paul. I'd be totally slacking if I didn't have a Midwesternism ready. Good grief. All right. So today's Midwesternism
is actually both a Midwestern greeting and a nickname. So this is one that a rule I did ask our guests if because a rule
is guest sponsored. This is guest suggested. This is
because, you know, sometimes, especially when your guests are from the Midwest, it's good to ask because there's just so many opportunities for Midwest cultural references and Midwest words that sometimes I forget that it is something that could be Midwest, and it just, I don't realize it. So the word of choice today is howdy. So not only is, exactly, see, howdy.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah. So not only is it a greeting, but it's just short for your last name.
Yes, it is. That happens to be my nickname, except rather than H-O-W-D-Y, it's H-O-U-T-Y, but that's fine. It works. You know, whatever. Just replace the D with the T. It works.
We'll call it good. Good enough.
So yes. A rule, I mean, you brought this up when you moved to North Dakota. People started saying howdy. What was your first reaction to howdy?
I don't know what they're saying, no.
Like, what is this?
Yeah. The nurse, like, you know, wondering now. You see, you know, cursing on me, or he's, you know, he. I'm in and ask somebody, what is this howdy? You know, oh, is he masking? You know, is he greeting you? I was like, okay.
That's awesome. What a unique perspective, right? I mean, you've just never heard it before. I mean, some of us grew up with it. We never would have thought it any other way. And I suppose howdy isn't necessarily, it just, yeah, it doesn't really sound like any other greeting that you get around the country. So.
You might awesome. Get it in Texas, maybe. Howdy, partner.
Well, yeah, howdy,
you know,
I suppose.
But you get partner with it. You know, in Minnesota, we just shorten it up. Howdy. Yeah. You know, heaven forbid that we would want to say too many words in the middle.
Use too many words.
That's just not that. Yeah, exactly. All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya!
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.